Good morning, church. Let's pray together. Father, we come before your word humble and with humble hearts, humbly requesting for you to speak to us, to change us, to make us like Jesus, to conform us to his image so that we can be your image bearers to our family and to our friends. Lord, help us today understand your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sell your right eye for $1,000? How about for $10,000? A million? Got some people listening now. What if you had to lose and choose between losing your arm or your leg? Which would it be? Well, it depends on if you play soccer or if you play pool, I guess. What if your friend is on life support and needs desperately a lung or needs a new heart? You see all the parts of the body, how integral they are and how valuable they are to us. Even the seemingly less significant parts of our body, we wouldn't just give them away. And we find out how necessary they are in what we do. My question for us this morning is this. The body functions together. How do we care for the body? If you have your Bibles today, I invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to talk about the body today and how each part of the body is an important part of the body. And that's Paul's argument and illustration that he uses to get across a part of the church in itself and the importance of each of us in the body of Christ and the body of this church and how we each function in important roles together. And when one piece is missing, oh, how it hurts the rest of the body. And I can tell you, as the pastor of a church and hearing from people, it hurts. It hurts when people are hurting in the body. It hurts when people leave the body. And as we have had several folks who have left our church in the last year and some who will be leaving, it hurts. It hurts when that happens. Because each of us are a part of the body. And that's Paul's point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is we are all a valuable part of the body. And even if we are doing things that seem insignificant to one, does not make them insignificant. And yesterday I gave an illustration of laundry at our conference and how laundry seems like such an insignificant and mundane task. And yet everyone in this room today is wearing a laundered piece of clothing. It's not so significant until people start showing up to church without their clothes on, is it? We wouldn't be laughing at that point. We'd be running. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 is where we'll begin. As you're turning there, I want to remind you what we're all about. We took a little bit of an aside looking at some of the spiritual gifts. There's great confusion, and there are a lot of interpretations of different spiritual gifts, and I felt like it was important and worthwhile for us to spend some time looking specifically at some of these gifts that the Lord has given us and how they are used today and how we can use them. And now we're going to get into the flow of the passage on the unity. And what had happened in the church in Corinth was that some were elevating certain gifts above others and saying, well, I'm more important than you because I have a miraculous gift that I can do, or I'm feeling less important because my gift is not quite as flashy or significant. And Paul is going to bring all that together at the church, to the church of Corinth, and say, look, it's not about the importance of what you're doing. We are a body working together for a purpose. And your part is part of a greater deed of pulling everyone together to worship the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one as he wills. Now, I want to stop for a moment and talk just briefly, but an overview of this gifting of the Spirit, or this charismata, as in the Greek word would be. But it is a gifting of the Holy Spirit to us, and I feel like it's important for us to define, because we're going to be looking at these gifts. Well, let's define just for a moment before we proceed, what is a spiritual gift? What is what we call today a spiritual gift? And a lot of people, let me see some hands. How many of you have taken a spiritual gift test or inventory where you've answered questions to figure out what you're doing? Okay, so a significant number of you have taken something like that. We've in fact looked at something like that in our church before. But it's not just the answer to a question on a test. A spiritual gift is what I'll define for you this way. It is a Holy Spirit empowered. And I get that from verse 11 when it says all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Okay? A Holy Spirit empowered work in a believer to edify the church for the glory of Jesus Christ. So here's a spiritual gift. It is a Holy Spirit empowered work in a believer, in you, church, in order to edify the church for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at the gifts the last few weeks, and we looked how some of those were building them, used to build themselves up, used inappropriately. Although gifts of the Spirit are used to edify the body in order to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the Spirit of God gifting you. And I believe that these might change in your life over periods of time and situations that you might be in. There's no reason to believe they wouldn't change based on something that you need to do or something that you're doing in the church. And I believe that if you're in a role in the church and doing something in a teaching role, I believe that the Spirit might gift you in that in a special way for a period of time, whereas another time, He might give you the gift of service in a different way when you're not teaching. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered work in a believer to edify the body for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we can't forget that goal. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, looking at our text in verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same what?
Spirit.
So there is one being, there is one person empowering this work, these spiritual gifts. And who is he? The Spirit of God. One Spirit, and Paul is drawing attention to this, and he will throughout this passage, of oneness. Because there are not different spirits enabling you to do different things, which would lead to maybe some discontinuity in the ultimate goal. Right? And the idea here of oneness is similar to the idea of marriage, where there's one, a husband and wife come together, and they come together in one purpose and for one goal, to be one, as Scripture says. The problems in marriage come when one wants to do one thing and another wants to do another, and there isn't agreement. And that's a serious problem in marriage. And we've all seen that happen. We've all seen that, how that plays out. One Spirit empowering lots of individuals for one goal. And what's that goal? It lines up exactly with what we've just talked about in our definition. Look in John chapter 16, verse 14. What is Holy Spirit's role in our lives? And not just our lives, but in everything. We must understand His role. And here's what Jesus says His role is. He will do what?
Glorify
me. Holy Spirit's role is not to point everybody to Him. Is to lift up the name of Jesus and to proclaim and celebrate Jesus, to reveal Jesus to us. That is what He wants to do. And when the Spirit is moving inside of you, opening your mind to understand the Scripture, He's showing you Jesus. And when He moves in you to praise the name, He's moving you to praise the name of Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus said He would do. And we can't go further than what Jesus clearly told us. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and He will declare it to you. And we looked at this yesterday in the 17th chapter of John, but what Jesus is talking about, this is He's taking the truth about me and He's revealing it to you. You go through the 17th chapter and you'll see this very clear. The glory of Jesus revealed in His word He's giving to God's people in order that God's people might know who Jesus is. And that is how we will glorify Him, celebrate Him, rejoice in Him, display Him. Watch this, verse 15. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that He will take what is mine, and what will Holy Spirit do? Declare it to you. His role is to speak to us through the word that has been given to us in order to communicate to us who Jesus is. One Spirit with one goal of glorifying Jesus Christ. So let me go back and read my definition again and see if it fits the test of what the Scripture teaches us. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered work in a believer to edify the church for the glory of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of what? One Spirit. There is one source of truth, and He is the Spirit of God, and He points us into the truth. And if we understand things about Jesus that are false, then we are not listening to the Spirit of God, because He is one Spirit leading us into one truth, and that is the truth of who Jesus is. And that is why Paul would say there are many, and John would say there are many false spirits among you. There are many antichrists, and they're already there. And they're trying to, there are many thought patterns and worldviews in this world that are un-Christ-centered. They're not Christ-centered. Those are false spirits and false doctrines leading to a damning religion away from the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, or leading us into error and false understanding and leading us into problems and into sin. That is not the one Spirit from whom we drink. That is not the Spirit in which has been given to us that we have been baptized into. Now let's look at this section just a little bit. There are some great nuggets in here of truth that we want to talk about. The purpose of the Spirit is to unite a group of unique individuals. You see that in verse 12? Of different people, though many, he says, we're one body. But he's wanting to unite a group of different people into a single body. Okay? He's not trying to make us all the same or look the same or do the same things. That would be foolish. I don't eat with my elbows. My elbows don't do things that my fingers do. And my fingers don't do things that my knees do or my eyes do. There is beauty in the fact that we are different. But there is a greater beauty that all of us as different people can come together as one in the same. And that's Paul's argument here. We are one body. And he goes even further. He says we all drink of this one Spirit, meaning the source of our truth. You get it? The drinking. When we drink something in, it's what nourishes us, and it comes into our bodies. It's kind of like this. How many of y'all have ever seen the science experiment where you take the water and you put some food coloring in it, you put a piece of celery or a flower in it, and then you let that sit for a day, and then you cut it, and you see that up in the stems or whatever they're called up in the little veins of the celery there. It's what you call them? I don't know. But there's red water. What do you call them? All right, in those things, because I can't hear you. In those things, it's red water. And you see that it's fueling. Or you see that you take a white flower and you put the colored water in it, and it affects the color of the leaves. We drink of the one Spirit. If we are drinking of false teaching, church, what's going to happen to us? We're going to reflect false teaching. And that is why I will tell you day in and day out, don't believe me. Go to the Word and believe the Word. Don't believe. Test everything that I say. Because the Word is true. And Jesus said, your Word is true. I am fallible. I'm going to make mistakes. But the Word is true. Trust the Holy Word of God and drink from the Spirit of God who reveals to us from His Word. Not from teachers. Teachers can help us. But the Word is what we drink from. The Spirit of God teaching us from His Word. It brings life to the church. But notice what else he says in verse 12 or in verse 13. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into how many bodies? One body. And then he gives two examples of distinctions between people. He goes with Jews and Greeks. Jews and Greeks, different races. Like, there's no room for race in the church. And as I think Brother Tim said it, there is only one race. And it's the human race. And we are God's people. There is no Jew and there is no Greek. Paul says it to the letter to many churches. We're together. We are one. There is, and then he goes to slave or free. Same thing there. Look, there. He transcends race. He transcends class. And whether or not you are a slave, a free, or a ruler, or a pauper, there's no room for understanding those to be differences within the body of Christ. Well, we see that did happen. And James looks at that in his epistle of showing favoritism. And I know the youth have looked at that recently. And I know some of our ladies have looked at the favoritism being shown in the book of James. There's no room for that in the church. And so let me say very clearly here in this church, whether you are a top dog in the financial world or in the class that you think you're a cut above, or whether or not you think you don't belong, or you think you're in a place where you are just not welcome here, let me go ahead and throw those both out of the door and say, Jesus does not define us, nor receive us, nor reject us based on our race or our class or our socioeconomic status. We are one. And that is a clear biblical teaching. And you can go to the scripture and put that one in the bank. There is no Jew, Greek, slave, free. There is in Christ or out of Christ. That's all. Amen? Verse 14, let's look at it. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. This is so important. You cannot have church with one person. Church is not about a person. This is why you can't do church alone. You can't say, well, I'm going to stay home from church and look, watch a sermon on YouTube. That's not church. That's watching a sermon. And that's not a bad thing, watching a sermon, but it's not church. Church is not a singular activity, and Paul is very clear about that. The body doesn't consist of one member, but of many. We are a body. Church is not aloneness. And I'm passionate about this, because here's what happens. When we separate ourselves from church, we become self-centered. It happens every time. You can't say, I'm going to leave church and do my own thing and then come back and say, but I'm so generous because I'm serving everybody because there's nobody to serve. Church is not a solo sport. It is a group team event. Okay? It's not golf that you can play by yourself. It is baseball. You need the team. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. This is why, church, it is so important for us to not come into this building in an individualistic mindset. And this is why that I pray that our church is not saying, well, this church isn't helping me, or it's not doing things the way I want, or anything like that. But we come and say, what's best for the body of believers? Gosh, there are so many things that happen in churches around this globe that ruin churches because people are just selfish and they want their ways. Oh, God forbid that happen. But may we come together and say, I'm willing to give. Watch how he explains this. Look in verse 15. Y'all still with me? Okay, and if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. This is just logic. It's a logical argument. Just because you say something doesn't make it true. And I tell my family this all the time. Just because you say it louder doesn't make it more true. Or just because you say it last doesn't make it more true. The truth is true whether or not we say it or agree with it. A lie is a lie whether or not we agree with it or not. Our passion for something doesn't make it true. It's either true or it's not. And all truth comes from God. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, Paul says that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Why do you think Paul goes here? Why do you think that the foot would say, well, I'm not a hand, therefore I must not be part of the body? What would have been happening in the church for him to bring up this illustration? For people to be saying, well, I must not be part of the body, or I'm not this, so I must be not very important, so I can just leave. What would be going on? Your guess is as good as mine, but it sounds like there's some of this going on in the church, and the division within the church is bringing people to say, well, I must not be important, so I'll just go not be part of the body. Well, just because you leave the church and stop coming doesn't mean you're not part of the body. That just means you're not doing what you need to be doing. You need to be part of the body. You need to be part of the body of Christ. It's important. Now, let me also draw attention to one other thing. Some feet feel like they're less important than some hands do, or some ears may feel like they're less important than some eyes. And I want to say this and make sure you understand that this comes, I don't know how to say it, but I mean this. Have you ever thought maybe the Lord gave you a weakness for a reason, bigger than yourself? Maybe the Lord made you weak in certain areas and placed you in this church because somebody was strong in that area you're weak. And it was part of God's design to encourage the strong by allowing that strong person to help the weak. Maybe some of you are strong in an area. And you know that feeling you get when you go help somebody out that needs help? It's that, I just did something good. I just did something right. You know that feeling? That's an important part of the Lord using you in another's lives. So here's my question for you. Are you willing to be weak in the church so that the church can be strong together? Because here's what I found. I have found that those who are weak in certain areas are generally really strong in other areas. And they may not make themselves very evident, and they may not be showy or flashy, but they're necessary. Like, I can tell you, there are so many ways in which I am deficient. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has put people around me who are strong in areas that I'm weak, who complete areas that I'm just deficient in. I'm so thankful for that. And I've had conversations with people who say, well, I feel like I'm not good at this. And you may not be. That doesn't mean you don't have a value that the Lord wants to use for something else in the church. And I find we give up too quickly. We give up too easily. And don't allow the Lord to use not only our strengths, but also our weaknesses in the church. So if you were weak, let me give you courage today. The Lord might have made you weak in that area for a reason. Be willing to be a part of the church as someone who's weak. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians, in his next letter. He told them. 2 Corinthians 11:30, he said, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my what? Here's something we miss. And this is the gospel message. Jesus Christ was strong where we were weak. And the message of the gospel says, I was unable to save myself. And I boast in that so that Jesus Christ receives glory. Could it be, if we think we're so weak and unable to help the church, could it be that we're just arrogant and proud? Could it be that we want people to only see our strengths and we're not willing to show our weaknesses and let the church be the church and fill in some of those gaps for us? Could it be that we want others to see us strong rather than weak, and so we just hide? I think that plays into it sometimes. Not every time, but sometimes. Oh Lord, I'll boast in my weakness that you might receive glory. It's not about me shining in the church. It's about me shining Jesus in the church. Can we agree on that, church? It's about us shining Jesus in church. Verse 17. Let's finish this idea. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in one body, each one of them as he chose. We each have gifts, and here's my encouragement for you this morning. Most of y'all know about this product called Velcro. There's a special sound it makes. Can you make that sound of Velcro for us? Can you make the sound for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, unstrap it. Do it for us. We want to hear it. Y'all know that sound. You hear it? Okay. That's the sound of Velcro. You know how Velcro works, right? Both sides are not the same. If you got the little fuzzy afro-looking side, that's not going to stick to the fuzzy-looking afro side, is it? Then you got the prickly little porcupine side. You have to have both, or Velcro doesn't work, does it? If you don't have both sides, it doesn't work. And that's what Paul is saying here. If the whole body were an eye, yeah, you'd be able to see, but you couldn't taste or smell anything. And that wouldn't be any good. Because then your boiled shrimp, all you'd be able to do is look at it all day long. We're a body. We have a purpose, and our goal is more than just seeing. And while we may have people in the church who might do things that may tend to stand out, that doesn't make them more important, and it doesn't make them the only necessary part of the goal. If the goal were just one thing in the church, yeah, you'd be filled with a whole lot of people that looked alike, doing the same things, and fighting with each other to be the best. That's the way it works, right? But that's not what this is. This is the church of the living God drawn together for a greater purpose than just one thing. We are drawn together like Velcro, fitting in, filling each other's gaps, that we might do what the Lord has called us to do. And we have some who are calm and who are steady. And we have some who are excited and loud. We have some who are visionary and who look at the big picture. And we have some who say, yeah, but what about the details? We have some who are scholars and just can't get enough of good preaching and teaching. And we have some, well, they're ready to leave a little bit early to go serve lunch because that's what they like to do. This is church. So here's what I want to do. I'll close out today with this. As we celebrate each other's differences and that we are different and that we don't look alike, that there's unity but not uniformity, we don't all look the same or do the same thing, but we're all together for the same purpose. When we celebrate each other's differences, we celebrate Jesus Christ our Lord. We celebrate the one who's made us different for a reason. And friend, I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, the church is the church because we're different and we do different things. And I want to encourage and point us in that direction. Use your gifts in this church for the glory of Jesus Christ. Find something. Find anything that you can do for the body of Christ and do it. And I mean that. Find anything that you can do for the body of Christ, for the glory of Jesus, and do it. If it's picking up trash, if it's cleaning the pews after the church service, if it's putting bread in a dish so that people can celebrate the Lord's Supper together, if it's putting words on a screen, if it's playing a musical instrument, if it's holding babies, if it's standing next to someone and saying, "Brother, thank you. Sister, thank you. You've encouraged me." If it's calling people on the phone and asking them, "How can I pray for you?" If it's emailing someone a scripture verse or sending somebody a text, "Hey, this is a great verse I came across today." There are thousands of things that can be done every week as the body of Christ, for the body of Christ, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not all eyes, you're not all ears, you're not all elbows, you're not all feet. We are all the body of Jesus Christ. And why do we do this? To proclaim Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, who was buried, rose again, that all who believe in him might have life. Church, we believe this message. Let's share it. If you're not a believer, you're here today. The message that we proclaim is just that Jesus saves, and he can save you if you're willing to surrender yourself, humble yourself before him. Repent of your own way and receive his way. Will you do that? Do you want to come to Jesus? He's inviting you today. He's commanding you today. Come. Come and be saved in him. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we thank you for one Spirit who's drawn us together in Jesus' name. Help us, oh Lord, help us to be the body. Help the church to be the church. Help us to do what you've called us to do. We pray this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.